All right, everybody, ready for a deep dive into something really cool. We're talking CDIL International today, the Christian Development Initiative for African Languages. And
No, I know. You hear language revitalization and you think niche.
right.
But trust me on this one, CDIAL's approach is seriously impressive. We're not just talking about preserving languages, though that's a big part of it. It's about empowering communities through Bible translation, education, helping people reclaim their cultural pride, and even, get this, creating economic opportunities.
It's really fascinating how CDIL recognizes that language is about so much more than just, well, words. It's so deeply intertwined with culture, identity, even a community's ability to thrive, to really thrive economically.
Sure. And that brings us to their blueprint document. Have you gotten a chance to look at this thing?
I have,
It's
yeah.
like a mission statement on steroids. This isn't just some vague ideas they've thrown together. They've got a structured plan to make this vision a reality. We're talking a board of trustees to steer the ship, a board of executive directors for the day-to-day.
I was really impressed with that, by the way.
Right. But then six, count them, six specialized departments, each with a laser focus.
This structure, honestly, as intricate as it might seem at first glance, it's actually really key to their success, I think. It lets them approach this really complex mission with a clarity that's evident in everything they do.
Totally. So rather than bore you with a list, let's dive into what makes each department tick. First up, research and documentation. Picture this. Teams of linguistic adventurers heading into remote areas, carefully recording languages on the brink of disappearing. Like linguistic archaeologists. You know what I mean?
It's a race against time, really, because so much knowledge, generations of knowledge, is encoded in these languages, and without that meticulous documentation, it could be lost forever.
It's a big deal. And CDIL doesn't stop at just preservation. Their mission department takes it a step further, making sure those Bible translations are more than just words on a page. They're weaving in those cultural nuances, those really specific things that make a language come alive. For instance, did you know they have a faith and farming initiative?
I did, yeah.
Combining agricultural practices with biblical teachings? How cool is that?
It's a perfect example of their commitment to being culturally sensitive. They're meeting people where they are, recognizing that faith is woven into every aspect of life in these communities.
Exactly. That local focus is huge in their language development and education department, too. We're talking textbooks, teacher training, the works, breathing new life into these languages, but within the classroom this time. It's about equipping those future generations to be fluent speakers and, cultural ambassadors.
Absolutely. And that's what's so powerful. It disrupts that cycle of language loss we see so often. By bringing these languages into the education system, they're not just preserved, they're used. They're alive, they're being passed on.
That's the key, right? It's one thing to have a recording in an archive somewhere. It's another to have kids speaking the language, using it in their everyday lives.
Right, exactly.
And it's not all, textbooks and lectures. CDIL knows how to celebrate these languages too. That's where the community engagement and cultural preservation team comes in. They're all about festivals, exhibitions, using media to get people excited.
And that's so important, I think. Challenging that perception that some languages are, I don't know, less valuable, maybe. Showcasing their beauty, their richness. CDIL is fostering a real sense of pride, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And here's where it gets really interesting, at least for me. Their sustainable development department. They're all about creating economic opportunities that actually leverage the power of these languages. We're talking tourism, software localization, things like that.
So powerful, saying that, you know, economic progress doesn't have to come at the expense of your linguistic heritage.
It's about recognizing the value that comes with diversity, the unique skills and perspectives that different language communities bring to the table. And it's about creating a world where speaking your native tongue can open doors, not close them.
I love that.
Right. Like we're talking about actual, tangible economic benefits, not just feel-good vibes.
It's about sustainable change, not just short-term projects.
Which, of course, brings up the million-dollar question, right? How do they fund all of this? I mean, this vision is amazing, but even I have to admit, when I first dove into their blueprint, I was a little blown away by the scope of it all.
Yeah, it's a big vision, for sure.
It is, and it takes some serious financial backing to make it happen. So, how do they do it? Spill the beans.
Well, they've covered all the bases, which is smart. They accept direct donations from individuals, corporations, anyone who wants to support their work.
Makes sense. Got to have that grassroots support.
Absolutely, but it doesn't stop there. They're also really proactive about pursuing grants.
Ah, tapping into those bigger institutional funds.
Exactly, especially grants that are specifically designed for, say, language documentation or, economic development projects.
Far move.
Right. But then, and this is where I was really impressed, they're not afraid to get creative.
Okay, I like where this is going. Tell me more.
We're talking fundraising events, maybe even like creating merchandise related to their cultural preservation work.
Now that's thinking outside the box.
Right.
It's about creating a sustainable ecosystem of support, right?
Exactly. And this commitment to transparency, it's not just about their finances either.
Oh, right. Their blueprint actually goes into a surprising amount of detail about their meeting structure.
Right. It's like, wow, they really thought of everything.
It's true. You can really see how much emphasis they put on communication and accountability.
Yeah, and organization. Every single thing, from board meetings to department meetings, even down to individual project teams, it's all structured. They've got clear agendas, they keep detailed minutes, the whole nine yards.
It's like they read my mind when I was struggling to organize, like, my sock drawer last week. Seriously, though, that level of organization, it makes a huge difference, especially when you're dealing with a project this complex.
For sure, it ensures that everyone's on the same page, that things don't fall through the cracks.
And speaking of communication, one thing that really struck me was their emphasis on community and stakeholder meetings.
Oh, yeah, that's crucial to their whole approach.
It's not just about coming in with a plan and saying, this is how it's going to be. They're actually listening to the communities,
Yeah.
taking their feedback into account.
Right, they're building partnerships, not just dictating solutions.
Which ultimately is how you create sustainable change. Okay, so we've got the structure, the funding, the communication, the collaboration. But how does this all translate into action? What does it look like to actually put this plan into motion?
Well, that's where it gets really exciting. They've got a 5-year implementation timeline all laid out in the blueprint.
Okay, so year by year, what's the game plan?
So, year one is all about laying the groundwork, establishing that board of directors, getting those initial language documentation projects up and running, the
Yeah, so it's
essential.
the foundation. Yeah,
Exactly. Years two and three, that's when they really start to scale things up, documenting more languages, developing and distributing those educational materials we talked about, really ramping up their community engagement efforts.
so they're hitting their stride.
They are.
What about the home stretch, years 4 and 5?
Okay, that's when things get really ambitious. They're aiming to launch a digital archive, online resources, making all their work accessible to a global audience.
Wow, that's huge.
It is, but it's not all. They also want to start exploring new technologies, new methodologies for language documentation, pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
So not content with just doing what's already being done, they want to innovate.
Exactly.
I love that. A global platform for language revitalization. That's next level thinking right there.
It really is. And what strikes me is that it's not just, a pie in the sky idea. They've really thought about how to make it happen.
Yeah, they're not just talking the talk, they're walking the walk. And honestly, that's what I find so inspiring about CDIL. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the scope of language endangerment, you know?
Yeah.
But they're showing us that it's possible to make a difference, to
Yeah.
be proactive, to create positive change.
Absolutely. They're not just lamenting what's being lost. They're actively building a future where linguistic diversity thrives.
Exactly. So as we wrap up our deep dive here, what's the takeaway for our listeners? What can they learn from CDIL's blueprint?
For me, it's a powerful reminder that even these big, complex challenges, they can be tackled. It takes clear vision, strategic planning, and a real commitment to collaboration. But it can be done.
I love that, turning passion into action, dreams into concrete steps. And for anyone listening who wants to learn more about CDIL, maybe even get involved, we'll have links to their website and social media in the show notes.
Because ultimately, this is a collective effort. Every voice raised, every connection made, it all contributes to this vital work.
Beautifully said. And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive into the world of CDIL International. We hope you found it as fascinating and inspiring as we have. Until next time, keep those minds curious and keep exploring.